49 hours away from the NBA draft beginning. 4 o'clock on Thursday. 49 hours to go.
Before DeAndre Ayton hears his name called.
You know, it's funny. We asked in the last segment.
Another Pac-12 player going number one.
Yeah, I know, right?
2 years in a row. Markelle Fultz, DeAndre Ayton. Arizona's never had a number one draft pick. They've had a number two.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Bibby and somebody else was a number two.
Wasn't it...
Was it Elliott? Was it who
Bennett?
Was it?
Just a couple years ago.
Aaron Gordon?
No. Aaron Gordon was four. Oh my gosh, the versatile forward who took him to the Elite Eight. I cannot believe I am blanking on his name. He has had a nothing NBA career.
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson?
Nope, he's had a nothing NBA career. What was his name? I can't remember. Someone's going to have to look it up for me. I'm locking on it. He was the number two pick in the draft.
Stanley Johnson?
Nope.
Williams.
Yes.
Was it Derek Williams?
Derek Williams.
Derek Williams.
Thank you.
Yeah, Derek Williams. Okay, Derek Williams.
Derek Williams. Thank you.
God. Yeah, he's had a terrible NBA career.
It's like blasting your forehead into a brick wall.
You're right.
I could not come up with a name.
Derek Williams.
Derek Williams was the number two pick in the draft.
Like so long ago, Derek
Williams.
I know,
Williams.
Right? God, what a bust he was.
I know, but that wasn't that long ago.
No,
that was not that long ago.
Yep.
Bibby was two. Derek Williams was two. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, I think,
was late 20s. He was in the 20s.
Aaron Gordon was four.
Laurie
Markkanen was like seven or eight, if I remember right.
Yeah.
But never.
Solomon Hill.
Never
was a first
one before.
Draft pick.
It's funny.
Jordan Hill was a first round draft pick.
We asked the question about why a quarter of our audience would be nervous about the draft.
Yeah.
And one guy responded. He goes, I'm nervous they won't pick Ayton. I need it confirmed 100%. I want to know for sure it's going to happen. That's what I'm nervous about.
Okay.
Said one guy, Jeremy, who responded to the Twitter poll, that there is still some concern that
they'll mess this up.
That they'll mess this up.
Or that
something else will come up, or they'll do something different.
I can't even fathom they would do that. I mean, we've been so ultra focused on what they're going to do at 16 because we believe that one is a foregone conclusion. They're just going to take DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah. Speaking of 16, saw a mock draft today on Sports Illustrated.
Yes.
I know you saw the same one. Zaire Smith, the guard out of Texas Tech, who was in here just a couple of days ago for his workout, projected by Sports Illustrated to be the Suns' pick at number. He's an interesting guy, and we've talked a lot about him because I think a lot of people think he could be the pick. He's an interesting guy for two reasons. Number one, I'm not sure he's going to be there at number 16. He might be, but I'm not sure of it. And number two, he is potentially so limited and potentially a huge bust in this league if he can't learn how to shoot.
Zaire Smith.
If he can't shoot, he's a bust.
He also has the best upside of just about anybody once you get past those first eight players and you start to look down. He's got the most upside because he's the most freak athlete in the draft. So there's a lot to like about him, and sometimes you got to take a swing at 16. You know, I mean, okay, but, oh, DeAndre Ayton's a safe pick. This isn't Ayton Bagley or Trey Young or Luka or Bamba or Bridges or Porter. This is once you get past that group of players, you get the 16. Look, you got DeAndre Ayton in one. Take a swing. Who do you think is going to be? Who has an unbelievable ceiling where if he pans out, he's going to be great? Take that guy. Now, look, they need a point guard, and they could get one because they've got some options there. There are point guards that will be there for them. We've talked about a couple of them. We've talked about Aaron Holiday from UCLA as a possibility. We've talked about the kid from France. Akobo is a new name for a guy that they like. We mentioned the Wichita State kid yesterday, Landry Shamet,
yep,
as a possibility. I've mentioned Brunson because I like Brunson a lot, too.
Of all those names, to me at 16, it'd be Jalen Brunson. Aaron Holiday, maybe. The French kid seems like a reach at 16. Landry Shamet feels like a big reach. That feels like a guy you could get at 31 if you were still drafting there, if you still wanted to go that direction. To me, I think I'm intrigued by Jalen Brunson. That would be a guy that maybe not a starting caliber point guard in this league.
Probably a really good backup
in
the league.
But a really good backup point guard in this league, which I think every team needs at some point.
Sure.
I'd be all for that. Look, I don't, but here's the thing. I don't think they have to take a point guard at number 16. I don't think that at all.
They have Tyler Ulis. Now, if they take a point guard at 16, as I said yesterday, Tyler Ulis is gone. You know, one guy sweating it out right now, too, is Alan Williams. They're going to take a center at number one. They got Tyson Chandler for another year. Alan Williams has a they've got a decision to make on Alan Williams. You know, so there's enough. They're not bringing back Alex Len. Now, they could play Bender a little bit at the center spot. I think Bender's your starting power forward right now. But you could, if they make a deal for a power forward, maybe they get a Jabari Parker and Aaron Gordon in free agency or trades, then you could play Bender a little bit at center. Tyler Ulis is gone if they take a point guard at 16. I really doubt that he'll be back. I'm telling you, they've got a tough decision on Alan Williams because he's got an option. And if you're going to play DeAndre Ayton 30, 35 minutes and mm-hmm. Tyson Chandler is going to be the backup, do you really want to pay $6 million for a third-string center?
Doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. No, I would agree with you that Alan Williams is in a little bit of trouble. I just think the point guard situation, hey, if there's somebody there you like, okay, go ahead. Why not? You've got Brandon Knight. You know, and not that I'm going to build a house on Brandon Knight and his future with the Phoenix Suns, but you've kept him around. You're paying him a lot of money. At one point with Milwaukee, he was almost an all-star caliber player on that team. He's not going to be sharing point guard duties with anybody. It's not going to be the complicated, convoluted arrangement they had a couple of years ago. You, throughout the months, have convinced me to want to at least see how Brandon Knight does in that role.
I'm looking forward to it.
So for me, I'm not in a hot rush for them, and that's why I agree with your take about what they should do at number 16. Take a swing. You know, and if you miss, okay, you miss. You know, it's 16. The chances of you hitting at 16 anyway are pretty slim. So if there's a guy there that you think has a tremendous amount of upside, like a Zaire Smith, if you can teach him how to shoot, and because he's such a great defensive player, and because he plays with such energy and athleticism, take him. He's a guy I don't know if he's going to be there at 16
I think one of the players they really love is Lonnie Walker from Miami. Now, I'm looking at a mock draft that has him going 17, but I am being told by some people he's not going to be there. I've got a bet with another NBA executive that he...
You have a bet?
Yeah.
Do you really? Really?
Yeah.
What did you wager?
Just a small wager. Nothing. Not money or anything like that. On whether he's going to be there, whether Walker's going to be there at that spot. Because I don't think he is going to be there. But there are some people that think he will, and some that aren't. And I'm getting a lot of mixed reaction on Lonnie Walker. He's one of those guys. Could go a lot earlier. Depends. I mean, people like his size and his shooting ability is unreal. But I'm still sticking, and I'll probably get more information tonight and try to narrow this down a little bit more. But I think we're looking at six guys. We're looking at Zaire Smith. We're looking at Lonnie Walker, Dante DiVincenzo, Troy Brown, Aaron Holiday, and Jalen Brunson. I think those are the six guys we're really looking at for at 16. There are some wild cards, which is the French point guard, Okobo, as a possibility, and the Wichita State kid, Landry Shamet, as a possibility. Wild cards, because I know that the Suns like those guys. But trust me, out of all the guys I just mentioned, a couple of those guys are going to be there at 31.
Oh, I think the last two you just mentioned are going to be
there. Could be there at 31. Yeah.
Certainly could be there at number 31. I would expect at least one of them would be. And then, of course, there's still the possibility of them trading up. And I think if they have conviction to trade up, and by that I mean they're willing to give up future assets to move up, I think they could do it. I think they could do it, depending on what they're willing to give up in the future, be it the Milwaukee pick, be it their pick next year, be it that Miami pick. I mean, if they really want to make sure they move up,
they got assets.
They have things.
Where do you move up to? And that's like, who's moving? I just can't, you know, I just can't grasp as I talk to all these teams on who would want to move. Sacramento doesn't want to move. Atlanta, I doubt, wants to move. Memphis, they've said they want to get off that contract, but I really don't think they're going to pass up the opportunity to take a player at number four. Dallas, we're talking about Doncic. Orlando's not moving. Chicago's not moving. Cleveland, I don't think Cleveland's moving. The Knicks aren't moving. I mean, who? Who's moving? I mean, everybody's expecting all of these. Oh, I'm expecting it's going to be so crazy, and it's going to be all these trades. And I've talked to one guy, one executive today. Cap space is at a premium. If you could really, get something, if you get somebody to take a contract, and I understand all of that, but man, I don't know that I see. I just don't see a team as with all my conversations, I just don't see who's moving.
Join 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station at the Phoenix Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party this Thursday starting at 4 o'clock live from Talking Stick Resort Arena. Go to arizonasports.com, check out the events page for complete details, and on that site you can RSVP so you can watch the Suns make their historic number one overall pick. Brad Boxberger has struggled in the month of June, and Troy Lovello says there's only one person that needs to be blamed for that. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Diamondbacks wrap up their series against the Angels tonight. A quick chew gamer before it's on the way to Pittsburgh for a four-game series against the Pirates. Joe Musgrove, by the way, got fined $1,000 for admitting that he deliberately threw at the Diamondbacks.
That's
last
it?
Week.
That's a grand? $1,000?
$1,000. Pocket change. Tip money.
Nothing.
Tip money for Joe Musgrove. Troy Lovello. Brad Boxberger struggles. We saw him struggle Sunday against the New York Mets. We saw him struggle against the San Francisco Giants when he pitched in back-to-back-to-back games. Troy Lovello says, you're looking to blame somebody? Blame me.
I blame myself for that. I asked him to go out there and get an inning worth, an out's worth of work just to get back on the mound because he had so much inactivity and he was so good. We just wanted to make sure that we were keeping him sharp. And as a result, he ended up throwing the next 2 days and blew the save there in San Francisco. I think those are the days that you're talking about, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But so I blame myself for that because I thought I was doing the best thing for him to keep him sharp. But obviously, it was asking a lot of him.
Because as you pointed out, he hasn't been the same since then.
5 1/3 innings, 8 hits, 7 runs, ERA 11.82 in June. He has not been good in June. Now, you go back to those days, you pitch 3 days in a row. Here's a guy that's had an injury history. Mm-hmm. You got a little tender care with him, right? You got to be a little bit careful. He's not Archie Bradley. Throw him out there. Yeah, I mean, you got to be careful with him. They pitched him 3 days in a row. Hasn't been the same. Troy Lovello took the blame for that. Took the blame. I blame myself. I pitched him 3 days in a row. Now, Archie Bradley pitched yesterday with Boxberger unavailable. Archie pitched and got a four-out save. So for those who, you know, want to make the argument that maybe Archie should be the closer, well, the one thing that Archie does give you that Boxberger doesn't is the ability to pitch in the eighth and ninth inning. He could go get you a four-out save or a five-out save. Yesterday was a four-out save. You know, I brought him in when they had to, and got out of a big jam in the eighth inning. De La Rosa put him in a jam, and he got out of it. Right, got a ground ball. I think it was against Kinsler.
Yes,
and got out of it in that eighth inning, and then pitched the ninth. And he gives you that luxury of having a guy that can pitch more than just the ninth inning.
Yeah, Archie Bradley had Ian Kinsler eaten out of the palm of his hand during that at bat.
Yeah,
I mean he pitched very well.
He fouled off a few. He did a good job of fouling some of those high fastballs off.
Now, as far as the closer situation, Lovello told us when we had him on earlier today, they will continue to evaluate that situation on a daily basis.
We're going to just continue to do it day by day. If he has 2 days in a row, as we do with all of our guys, we're going to evaluate them, see how they feel. Yesterday, I made the decision. He was 3 out of 4 with a little bit of a taxing inning on Sunday. I made the decision to make him unavailable just because I got a lot of input from the medical team. He said he felt fine, like I said, but I just did not want to put him in harm's way. We got to play baseball hopefully all the way through the end of October, and we need him strong at that time.
Now, I wonder, and I'm getting way ahead of myself here. I know that, but I do wonder if the struggles for Boxberger continue, okay? We've already established Troy Lovello is a very loyal guy. We saw it last year with Fernando Rodney. We're seeing it this year with Alex Avila, right? He's a guy who stands behind his guys. Last year, he was asked during chunks of the season almost hourly questions about whether he was going to replace Fernando Rodney. I do wonder if Boxberger continues to struggle, if Torrey will be as loyal to him as he was to Fernando Rodney a year ago. I wonder. Or will he give himself a little more wiggle room for a change? Because you saw what Bradley can do last night. In that role, you saw kind of the different look he gives you in that role. And I just wonder if Torrey will be as vocal in his support for Brad Boxberger the way he was a year ago for Fernando Rodney in that role.
It seems like Torrey's loyal to all 25 guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I mean, an honest question. I mean, can you loyalty to a fault? Like, are you loyal to a fault? Like, this division may come down to one game.
Sure.
You know, you're being loyal to some of these guys that aren't producing, Alex Avila especially. You know, can that come back to burn you? And I asked him that.
And I've got his response right here. Can I, you want to play it?
Yeah, play it. Go ahead.
we talk about the game in April means just as much as the game in September. So we are anticipating that it's going to come down to a one-game difference. That's the battle that we're always anticipating, and I think our guys really genuinely love that type of battle. But, you know, like I said, we have more than one catcher on this team. The guy's got to play. We can't totally eliminate him. I'm just trying to pick him up, dust him off, and give him every opportunity to be successful, because I know if he gets clicking, if he gets moving, he can be a pretty successful player.
I don't understand, but this is, again, I understand you want to be loyal to all your guys, but part of being loyal to your team is, like, I need to be loyal to the other guys that are getting the job done.
No doubt.
And, you know, being loyal to Alex Avila may mean in some ways that you're not being loyal to the other guys.
No doubt.
Because how do you keep running a guy out there that can't play the game of baseball anymore? Like, he can't play. He's literally the worst player in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So how do you keep putting him out there? Because that's the thing. Okay, you're loyal to him because you want to get him going and you want to stand by him and you're paying him $8 million. But at the expense of what? The guy's getting booed left and right. I mean, it's not a good feeling for him, for his family. It's not that his teammates have no confidence in him at all. I mean, Boxberger kind of threw him under the bus the other day when he went to pick up that ground ball, the bunt by Reyes, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, at some point,
I don't want to make it sound like a lot, but yeah, a little bit. He said that the bunt threw him off a little bit, that the bunt attempt threw him off a little bit, and the fact that Avila chose to try to field it, yeah, that it messed with him a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're right. I'm sure Torrey's loyalty to these guys goes a long way towards solidifying his credibility in that room. But at the end of the day, these guys just want to win. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, that is your responsibility.
Right, so
that's
your
in charge of doing.
Putting a player out there, it's not going to look. Boxberger could have another role. You could take him and make him the seventh inning guy or the eighth inning guy. You can't do that with Avila. He's either you got to get rid of him. But Boxberger, you could say, okay, we're going to make Archie the closer. He's a better closer than you. We're going to make Hirano the eighth inning guy. You're going to be the seventh inning guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no problem. So Boxberger can still have another role on this team.
No doubt.
Avila, there is no role. I mean, his role's, go work at ShopRite. I mean, actually, he doesn't have to work there. Just, he's got his $8 million coming to him.
He's
fine.
He's making $8 million in the next 2 years. He does not need to work at the get and run. No, he's good.
JV sent me a story about the former boxer Bobby Chez is working at ShopRite right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, ShopRite Pharmacy. Yeah. Or ShopRite. No, not the pharmacy. Just ShopRite. So I was just like, I was reading ShopRite. So I was like, you can go right. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Boxberger could play another. He could be the seventh inning guy.
Of course.
What's Avila going to do if you don't play him? Nothing. So get rid of them.
Yeah. Well, no, and it is, and look, and I'm not suggesting for a second that they should be or even are contemplating making a change to the closer position. I mean, Avila's in his own category. You even asked Torrey about if he's worried that the fans booing Alex Avila is become an intolerable situation.
Not really. These are professional athletes, and, I know that you have a semi-successful boxing background. I don't know what your record was, but I've seen your pictures of you boxing. It would be like getting knocked out two or three times in a row in consecutive bouts. Do you just say, I quit? And if your trainer says you stink and you're done and gamble, you're going to get killed out there. What would you say?
Why do you think I'm not boxing anymore?
But you had the heart of a lion. Why? Well, I know that you'd probably continue and you'd want to keep pushing and pressing, and you'd go back to the drawing board with your trainer and say, I know I can do this. So I'm aware of the things that you're talking about, but I know that he believes, and I want to make sure that I show him that I believe in him too, because I feel like all he needs is to get that one big punch off and knock somebody down and say, hey, there it is. I got it, and I'm ready to move on.
But at what cost?
How many games are you going to lose to try to get him going?
Right. How many games
will you lose with him playing? Or how many? Yeah.
How many moments are you going to give away in the name of fixing Alex Avila?
Right.
How many games are you willing? How many moments are you willing to give away in the name of fixing Alex Avila?
Plus, could you lose another player? Man, Lovello's out of his mind. Why does he keep playing this guy? Like the other, could you lose trust from the other guys?
Sure. Potentially.
Could you lose trust from the other guys? You're the leader. And then they're looking at the line. They're like, man, Alex Avila's playing 2 out of 4 games against the Mets. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the easiest out in baseball. So could other players lose trust in Lovello because he's trying to get Avila right? Like, there's repercussions, right? Is that the word, repercussions?
That is the word.
I mean, you keep playing him, There's a price to pay. Not only losing baseball games, but you could lose some players who are pissed off that you keep playing them.
It is Ticket Window Tuesday. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We are giving you the chance to win tickets to go see Kevin Hart live at Talking Stick Resort Arena on the 1st of July. Be listening today at 4:15 in the afternoon for your chance to win. It's being called one of the deepest and best drafts in years, but if history is any indication, we all need to just relax a little bit. We'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show. One of our poll questions that we have two today on the Burns and Gambo Show. The first one, we're just following suit with the other shows. Doug and Wolf started it this morning. Who would you rather go to Vegas with, Doug or Wolf?
Where did that start from?
They must have been having a conversation on the air and they turned it into a poll question. Mm-hmm. Bickley and Murata followed suit, and we have, you know, in the tradition of that, followed as well with who would you rather go to Vegas with?
I voted for you. I'd rather go with you than me.
And I appreciate that.
I don't drink and I don't gamble.
I would not want to. You would be no fun in Vegas. Just no fun. You don't do anything.
I don't.
The things that make Vegas fun, you choose not to do.
Yeah.
You know, so why would I want to go with you?
You're gaining momentum. It's now 52-48.
Oh, man. There are people.
I'm surprised it's that close.
I am too.
Like, you know, you drink and you gamble.
I mean, there might be people who would choose to do Vegas the way Gambo would choose to do Vegas.
How would I do Vegas?
You'd go to shows and you eat dinners and you'd be home by 10:30 at night.
Yeah, exactly.
There might be some people who would want to do Vegas that way. I don't know.
Do they smoke in the casinos?
Yes, they do.
Oh, see, I wouldn't even go.
Yes,
to the
they
casino.
Do.
I wouldn't even go.
Oh, and marijuana is legal up there, too. So you've got that going for you. Yeah, I mean, it's just a Gambo's paradise.
So, like, you go to a sports book to watch the games, people are smoking?
Yes, around you.
I wouldn't
you.
Even be able to sit in there. I hate smoke. I wouldn't be able to go.
Really? And this clown's carrying 48% of the vote, Jordan?
I wouldn't be able to go.
I mean, jeez.
I'm handsome.
Mr. Popularity.
I'm handsome. People would think that, you know, I would attract the women.
So you know what? Go hang out by the pool with Gambo. That'd be the only venue in Vegas where you're going to win with John Gambadoro. Apparently,
if you're
at the pool.
If you're a single guy, you might want to hang out with me because you know the ladies will be attracted, drawn, and
you'll get Gambo's leftovers. Up in Vegas.
Well, I just feel like, I'm sorry, I'm a very happily married guy, but my friend here is available. He's single.
Our other poll question, the reason I brought it up, our other poll question, and it was a good question. The words you would use to describe the NBA draft if you're a Suns fan, like 75% of our audience said excited, but 25% said nervous, that they're nervous about Thursday, which got me kind of thinking, why? What is it? What is there to be nervous about? And I think I know what it is. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
I think I know what there is to be nervous about. In 2013, Jay Billis declared that number one pick Anthony Bennett is, quote, an absolutely a stretch four that can score from day one in the NBA, close quote. Bill Simmons claimed that number four pick Cody Zeller, quote, got picked apart too much by scouts. Billis fawned over Ben McLemore, calling him, quote, the guy who, from a talent perspective, is the most likely, in my judgment, to be an all-star out of this NBA draft class.
Ooh.
Then fast forward to the next year when Billis called 2014 the deepest draft of quality talent we've seen in a long, long time. Jalen Rose waving pom-poms for Nick Stauskas, comparing him to Drazen Petrovic. The entire panel agreed.
I loved Drazen Petrovic.
That Michigan State's Adrian Payne was a brilliant pick by Atlanta at number 15. The Hawks would hit the eject button on Payne fewer than 8 months later, trading him straight up. You see what I'm going?
Yeah.
See where I'm going with this? The NBA draft is a crap shoot. You just don't know. Speaking of Vegas, all right?
I'm telling you. Trust me, it was a lot easier to evaluate the NBA draft in the 80s and 90s because the guys played 3 and 4 years.
No question.
It is impossible to, it's not impossible, it's extremely hard to judge the talent of a 19-year-old kid. And I always use this example because it's one of the best ones. There are kids in this draft that are 6'2". They're going to end up being 6'5". There are kids in this draft that are 6'2". They're going to end up being 6'2". Like, you're going to draft a kid that's 19 years old. Two kids, both 19, both 6'2". One could end up being 6'5", and the other could stay at 6'2". You don't know.
Sure.
There's nothing that you can do to tell me which of these two kids is going to grow 3 more inches.
And
but it happens.
That's just the physical part of the evaluation. You got to look at a 19-year-old kid and try to figure out what kind of professional athlete he's going to be when he's 25.
Right.
Let alone how tall he is. I mean,
30 college basketball games over six months.
How much is he going to care? How hard is he going to work? How much does he love it? How much is he coachable? You're supposed to decide how you project that. Using a 19-year-old kid as a model. Jonathan Giovanni is the draft insider for ESPN. He was on Doug and Wolf this morning.
You know, nobody's batting 1,000 on this. You know, even the best NBA talent evaluators have made mistakes. And so, you know, I understand that there are hundreds of variables involved in whether a guy, you know, reaches his full potential or not. And a lot of them are things that we can't project at this stage. You know, the situation that they go into, their coaching staff, the teammates you surround them with, you know, injuries creep up. There's so many different things.
And for the record, I'm not trying to call out Billis because I think he's really good at what he does. I like Bill Simmons. Jalen Rose is fine.
They very rarely criticize a player either.
They usually do not, no.
Right.
Usually it's, oh, this guy's good.
Because they are.
And I think...
Name a player in the top eight that you don't like. You can't. Do you not like Trae Young? Do you not like Sexton? Do you not like Bamba? Do you not like Doncic? Who do you not like? They're all good. So, no, but this is the truth. I mean, they're looking at the same thing we are. Okay, DeAndre Ayton, you like him?
Yes, I do.
Marvin Bagley.
I do like
him. Trae Young.
I like him.
Jaren Jackson.
I like him.
Mohamed Bamba.
I don't like him as much, but I like him.
Luka Doncic.
I like him.
Bridges. Mikal Bridges.
I like him, yeah.
Wendell Carter.
I like him.
Michael Porter.
Mm-hmm.
See, they're all good.
It's all because...
No, they are all good.
Sure.
It's not, but I can't... How do you rip one of these guys? Can you imagine, Jay Billis, Marvin Bagley is an awful basketball player. There's no way he should be taken in the top 20 of this draft. He is going to be a bust.
Sure.
I mean, these guys are all good. They're all good. Now, it's a whole nother level.
Well, they're all good relative to each other. Relative to other 19-year-old basketball players in a league filled with grown men and some of the best athletes in the world, well, that's a totally different swimming pool you're swimming in if you're a 19-year-old kid. That's a totally different comp. Okay, they're good relative to each other. Relative to Steph Curry, you know, relative to Devin Booker, and so if I were to use a word that describes you, if I were to say I'm nervous about Thursday, what would make me nervous is that the Suns could do everything right and still get it wrong.
Sure.
They could do everything right. They could, DeAndre Ayton could nail the interviews. The tape could look great. He could have a great one-on-one workout. He could project, you know, think, okay, he's going to be this, he's going to be that. And it could still not work because that is the nature of the NBA draft. I mean, just go back and all you have to do. Spend 10 minutes doing this tonight. Not you, but just if you're out there listening in general. Go to Wikipedia and look up the 2017 NBA draft. And then look up the 2016 NBA draft. And 15, and 14, and 13, and 12. And just go right on backwards for as long as you want. You will look at those drafts and go, oh my God, so-and-so was the 10th pick in the draft.
Right, but if you went back to the day before the draft, you would have been like, I like that guy.
Oh, sure.
He's a good college basketball player.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
he was really good.
You look at last year's draft and you go, wait a minute, Donovan Mitchell was the 13th pick in the draft? There were 12 players better than Donovan Mitchell last year?
Right.
Who? Luke Kennard? Malik Monk?
Luke Kennard was a good basketball player.
Zach Collins? I know.
Malik Monk was a really great player in college.
Relative to each other, they all were.
There's one guy they weren't going to get because he played the same position as Booker, but they liked him. I mean, he's a good player.
Yep, I know.
Every once in a while you have a draft. Okay, the Alex Len draft. They drafted Alex Len. Remember what I said about Alex Len? This guy wasn't first team all ACC. He wasn't second team all ACC. He wasn't even third team all ACC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm a little worried about Alex Len. That guy didn't make a first, second, or third team all conference. So, when Alex Len got drafted, I was like, it's a project, and it's a big man. You try to make it work. Okay, I get it. It's not a great draft. But, the fact that that guy wasn't even first, second, or third team all conference was, a warning sign to me.
Time out on the floor. Where did we find this? This is great. Okay, Andy's friend just texted him. Where is he? Do we know where he's at?
Are you kidding me?
DeAndre Ayton is at a Verizon store in town, and he's signing DeAndre Ayton jerseys. Suns DeAndre Ayton jerseys?
Where do you get a Suns DeAndre Ayton jersey?
Customized, personalized one.
Does Just Sports have him yet?
No, you probably have to go make one by now. Yahoo Sports NBA, at Yahoo Sports NBA, just tweeted out a photo. DeAndre Ayton is already out here signing Suns jerseys. And then the eyeball emoji as if to say, look at that.
That is freaking awesome.
He put the number 13. Oh, so this guy who bought this jersey,
put 13.
Who had it made, put the number 13 on there.
Okay.
And DeAndre Ayton. Oh, and DeAndre Ayton signed it as number 13.
What, I have the feeling that the guy's wearing a Dallas Mavericks jersey under that?
He is. He's holding it up over a Dallas Mavericks jersey.
Is that or a Golden State jersey? What is that?
He's holding it up over somebody else's jersey.
I can't tell what jersey that is. Is that your friend?
Is that your buddy in the picture? Andy, no, that's not your buddy in the picture.
That's not your buddy?
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
I guess that settles that. Drama gone. No drama. We don't want no drama. You're not. It's a good thing you don't want no drama because you ain't going to get any.
If he ends up on the Kings, he's just going to feel bad. I got DeAndre Ayton signed Suns jersey. He's not even on the team.
It's the biggest decision of the summer and will be the talk of the NBA after this week. But at the time, the situation is kind of holding the Cavaliers hostage a little bit. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You don't want no drama. No drama. No drama.
2 years ago today. 2 years ago today. LeBron James blocked a shot. Kyrie Irving hit a shot. And the Cleveland Cavaliers rallied from down 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors to win the NBA championship.
And Cleveland went berserk.
And Cleveland
finally had their championship.
Cleveland went nuts.
Drought
was over. It was a Sunday, if I remember right. It was a Sunday, Game 7. I think it was Father's Day, if I remember right.
Great moment.
And it was a great moment. And then
Kyrie decided to leave. They decided to give a lot of money to Tristan Thompson.
Kevin Durant went to Golden State. And that, as they say, was that. And now Cleveland finds itself at a true crossroads moment here. And I was reading a story today with the draft coming up in 48 hours that right now the Cavs just don't know what to do because they are flying in the blind when it comes to LeBron James. He's given them no indication, and he's not going to. He's given them no indication, no hint,
does
no
he
suggestion.
Owe it to him? Doesn't he owe it to him? Hey, if you're not coming back, can you please tell me? Like, if LeBron was coming back,
aren't you the...
I would consider trading the eighth pick for a player to help LeBron.
Aren't you the nobody owes anybody anything guy, though?
Yes.
Isn't that one of your kind of your pillars? And I think it's a good pillar, by the way. I mean, I think that nobody owes anybody anything. Does LeBron James owe it to the Cavs to say, I'm coming back? Or
that's a different thing. I'm not saying he owes it to him to come back. He's a free agent. If he wants to leave, he can leave. He doesn't owe it to them to come back.
I'm just saying
you think he should kind of like give them fair notice? Like, hey, here's my plans. If I know what I'm doing, should I give them a heads up? Like, do I really want to screw? Because aren't I screwing them in some ways?
Sure, of course you are.
Now, if I'm Cleveland and I don't know what he's doing, I simply make the best pick I can make at number 8. Now, there's been a lot of ties up. You go to the Cleveland paper right now, and you'll see the league thinks the Cavaliers will draft Michael Porter Jr. if he's there at number 8. So the league thinks that Cleveland's going to get Porter. So you start over. If I'm Cleveland, I start over. And if LeBron leaves...
What do you mean the league thinks they're going to take Michael Porter?
I guess, let me see. League thinks Cavaliers... Well, I'll just read it to you.
Okay. Like league sources think they're going to take Michael Porter?
Probably. Several sources ranging from NBA executives to agents to scouts told Cleveland.com that the Cavs would most likely draft Porter if they could. The team naturally will not comment on a draft strategy. But
there was a report earlier that Trae Young had a secret workout with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes.
Look, to answer your question.
And they did say, they will say just quickly, on Monday, Cleveland.com reported that the Cavs will not know LeBron James's intentions ahead of draft night.
Yeah. Brian Windhorst was on ESPN.
So the Cavs are in a tough position because they got to decide between team building, doing what a team has to do to refresh its talent base, to try to build for the longer term, and LeBron building, which is, you know, acquiring players that help LeBron win the next game, which is what he wants. And they're stuck in the middle. And they're stuck in the middle because they put themselves there.
I guess to answer your question, do I think it would be Is it necessary for LeBron to tell him? No. Would it be cool for LeBron to tell him?
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be cool. It'd be cool if he told him.
Right.
What if LeBron doesn't know? What if LeBron truly, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know if I want to go. I don't know if I want to stay. I don't know what I want to do.
I actually believe that. I believe that he might not know. I do. I believe that he might not know what he's going to do. He's 33. He's got a lot of ties there and roots there. He won a championship there. Mm-hmm. You know, what are we hearing? We're hearing Chris Paul saying that he's kind of recruiting him to the Rockets. And
the reports there, Chris Paul's recruiting him to the Rockets, but Chris Paul is telling people that he's not going to get him to the Rockets because he knows LeBron wants to go to L.A.
Okay.
That's kind of the latest on that front.
Paul George is going to get a max offer to stay in Oklahoma City, and he might stay, right?
That is one of the reports that's out there.
All right, I mean,
the Kawhi Leonard trade, potential trade, that's kind of a factor in all this. I mean, if
they may not trade him to the deadline. They might hold on to it.
Right. So in the midst of all this uncertainty, is it A, reasonable to think that LeBron James literally does not know what he wants to do? Yes. I think it's reasonable to think that. So if he really doesn't know, what exactly is he supposed to tell Cleveland? Hey, look, I really don't know.
Well, then you just have to draft the best player you can at number 8 and don't worry about it.
Yep.
Don't worry about it.
Unless you think LeBron's playing you and he's testing you as an organization. All right, I'm going to see what you do on draft day to try to woo me to stay. And let's see if it's good enough to get me to stay.
Oh, the worst thing that you could do is make a move and then he leaves. You can't do that.
No doubt.
You can't do that.
Well, because wasn't that what the Heat did a few years ago when they drafted the guy that LeBron basically said, this is the guy I want you to draft? They drafted him and he left anyway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. So if you're Cleveland, I think you actually, I don't know what I would do if I were Cleveland. I mean, I would think you'd have to proceed as if he's leaving. I think you would have to move ahead with the idea that
I would,
that he's not coming back and I have to ready myself for that by doing everything I can. But knowing that the minute you start making moves based off of him leaving, that might convince him to leave.
Look, LeBron's going to leave and you're going to start over the next 5 years to put pieces together for another. I mean, that's how you got to think about it. I got 5 years now. LeBron's gone. We're not going to win a championship next year or the year after. Problem is all the contracts they have. George Hill's going to make $19 million next year. Jordan Clarkson, 12.5. I mean, you know, Tristan Thompson's contract like that. So what they have to do is they have to draft a player here at 8 and just hope that they're, you know, that over the next 5 years they get 5 picks in the top 15 and they go, you know, I would give away guys. Just to lose. And by one, Kevin Love, don't even need a lot back for him. Because the best thing you could do is lose basketball games. Now, even though the lottery odds are changing, you still want to be in the position to take a top 10 guy.
Yeah, and the Cavs are, I mean, safe to say, are about to undergo a massive, I mean, if LeBron leaves, they're going to go through a massive rebuilding phase, a massive bottoming out phase. And it was, if I'm a Cavaliers fan, a Cleveland sports fan, it was worth every minute.
Sure.
Was worth every minute. I wouldn't trade a thing. Not a thing.
Well, look at the Diamondbacks. Was that worth it? They went 20 years. Like 20 years.
Yep.
Of having to pay $25 million a year in deferred money that wasn't even on their on their team.
It was worth every single moment. Time for your son's insider report.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns insider update.
The draft is 48 hours away, and our Suns draft insider report comes from Yahoo Sports and their NBA account. Apparently, DeAndre Ayton is somewhere in town signing DeAndre Ayton Suns jerseys. So we got sent a photo on Twitter. DeAndre Ayton is already out here signing Suns jerseys. I hope that hasn't been doctored in any way or photoshopped in any way, but apparently... He's out there. I don't even know where there is.
But there's not that many people in the store. So.
Well, I can't imagine they got a lot of publicity out of it yet. I mean,
Well, and in the photo, DeAndre Ayton is in the background on his phone. It doesn't even look like he's very much engaged.
Maybe they're buying a new cover or case for his phone.
Maybe. Maybe. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the D-backs offense has bounced back from a lousy month of May. But according to a new report today, that has not stopped them from considering adding a huge bat. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show.